God speaks to us in many ways. He speaks to us, of course, through His written word. He speaks to us through nature. But He also speaks to us through His active leading of our lives and by the influence of His Spirit. But it's not enough that He speaks to us. We also need to pour out our hearts to Him. In order to have spiritual energy, we must have actual communication with our Heavenly Father. Our minds may be drawn out towards Him. We may meditate upon His works, His mercies, His blessings, but this is not in the fullest sense communicating with Him. In order to communicate with God, we must have something to say to Him concerning our actual lives. We all know that women tend to talk more than men. I said that this might be the case, okay? I may listen to my wife talk to me, but the reality is there'll be a lot missing in our relationship if I don't talk back to her, right? We need to have a two-way conversation to truly have communication. And it's the same way with God. We can listen to God speak to us through nature, through His word, through His interaction in our life, but unless we speak back to Him, we miss a whole lot. A lot of us have memorized this little quotation from Steps to Christ, page 94. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive Him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to Him. As we continue our series of sermons on Christ's Sermon on the Mount, we find that Jesus is talking about prayer. And He assumes that we would be praying. Notice His words are in Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Don't you love His assurance there? That our prayers will be heard. He doesn't say they might be heard. He says very clearly, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. How often we find Jesus while He lived here on this earth spending time in prayer. He lived His entire life while here just like we must live our lives. Felt the need to connect to His Father in heaven to gain a fresh supply of daily strength for His life. And He is our example on how we should live. He's acquainted with our daily trials. He was tempted in just the same ways as we are. But as a sinless one, His nature recoiled from evil. He endured the struggles and the trials in this world of sin. His humanity made prayer a necessity, but Christ obviously found it to be a privilege. He found comfort and joy in communicating with His Father. And if Christ felt the need for prayer, how much more should we feel that need? We don't have a sinless nature. We have a nature that craves sin, and we need God's strength. It's really amazing that we pray so little. God is there willing to listen to the simplest prayer of His children, yet we hesitate to make known our wants to God. What do you think the angels of heaven must think as they look at us, knowing what's available to us and seeing that we don't even try to avail ourselves of it? We have so little faith. Yes, there are conditions to God's answering our prayer, but the one big condition is that we have to feel our need of God first. Feel our need of help from Him. If we don't feel our need for Him, if we don't feel the need to come to Him in the first place, we won't even be bothering to ask Him. He's promised, I will pour out water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who long for God, can be sure that he will fill them. But our hearts must be open and receptive for that to happen. God cannot bless those who are not open to receive the blessing. The very fact that we have a need is itself an argument that speaks for us, but we have to ask him. He won't give for those who don't ask. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" If we hang on to our sins and don't allow the Lord to clean up our lives, the Lord will not hear our prayers. However, when we surrender our sins, when we give them to God, he cleans us up and he accepts us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from how much of our unrighteousness? All of it." When we have confessed our sins, we can know that God answers our prayer. It's not our own goodness that will not earn us favor in God's sight. It is Jesus himself. It is Jesus' worthiness. It is his blood that will cleanse us. Yet we must want him to do it. We must ask him to do it. Another condition of answered prayer for us is faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Jesus said to his disciples there in Mark 11, 24, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Do we take him at his word? Do we believe what he says? The promise is broad and very unlimited. Steps to Christ, page 97, says, "When we do not receive the very things we ask for at the time we ask for them, we are still to believe that the Lord hears and that he will answer our prayers." We are so erring and short-sighted that we sometimes ask for things that would not be a blessing to us. And our Heavenly Father in love answers our prayers by giving us that which will be for our highest good. That which we ourselves would desire if, with vision divinely enlightened, we could see all things as they really are. We as parents understand that, don't we? Our kids, our grandkids come to us from time to time asking for things that they think they got to have. But many times we realize it would not be good for them. And so we give them instead what would be best for them, don't we? When it seems like our prayers are not being answered, we're to remember this and keep claiming his promises, for the time of answering will surely come, and we will receive the blessing that we need. But to claim that prayer will always be answered in the very way for the particular thing we desire is presumption. God's too wise to make a mistake. God's too wise to give us what would hurt us. He does not withhold any good thing from his children who are trying to walk with him, so don't be afraid to trust him, even though you do not see an immediate answer to your prayers. Rely upon his promise. They are true. He says, "Ask and you will be given." But if we come to God knowing that we're helpless, asking for forgiveness, and in humble, trusting faith, tell him our needs, our God who knows everything about us will listen. He will respond to our needs. Jesus, there in the Sermon on the Mount, said, "When you pray, go to your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray." And notice the simplicity of this prayer. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Through the simple act of prayer, we're brought into connection with the mind of God. We may not be able to see it all at the time. We may not be able to see God face to face. But God's face is turned towards us. He's there. We may not feel his visible touch, but his arms of love are holding us and caring for our needs just the same. When we come to ask for mercy and blessings from God, we should have a spirit of love and forgiveness in our own hearts. Jesus teaches us there we're to forgive as we've been forgiven. How can we expect God to forgive us if we won't forgive others? If we expect our own prayers for forgiveness to be heard, we must forgive others in the same way that we want God to forgive us. If prayer is really our primary communication with God, then we really need to be communicating all of the time, so our faith and our experience with God will grow. This is really why the Apostle Paul encouraged the Christians in Colossae to pray. He said, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And to the Philippians, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The Apostle Peter adds to this in 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert, sober-minded, so that you may pray. The Bible admonishes us over and over and over again to be constant in prayer, to bring everything to God in prayer, to relax and not worry, because God does hear and God does answer those prayers. We don't need to worry about the future. We don't need to worry about the present. We need to take advantage of every opportunity, however, to grow in our prayer life. This is why it's important to come to Bible study, to come to church, to join with fellow church members in studying and growing in your walk with God. We should be praying in our home with our family, but more than anything else, we must not neglect the personal, private prayer, for that truly is the life of our very soul. Without it, we will die spiritually. It's impossible for a spiritual life to be vibrant when prayer is neglected. Family or public prayer alone is not enough. Jesus says, go into the closet, be by yourself, and pray. In secret prayer, the child of God is free from surrounding influences, free from excitements. We need to just calmly, yet sincerely, reach out to God. Tell him your needs. Tell him what's on your mind. And there is no place that that can't happen. When Jesus says go into the closet, he doesn't literally mean you must go in a closet and close the door. He's saying, in your mind, come before me with singleness of thought. Pray with your heart anytime, anywhere that can happen. In the crowded streets, at school, in the classroom, in the business place, whenever, wherever it is appropriate. There is no inappropriate place to pray. Although we're living in a sinful world, we don't need to participate in its evil. But we can, through prayer, breathe the fresh, untainted, unsinful air of heaven. We can come into his presence. We can be refreshed. We can be encouraged. We can have his assistance at any time. As we walk daily with God in the beauty of God's holiness, he will fill our hearts and our minds to understand him better, to grow with him. James, the brother of Jesus, had learned, and he assures us, in James chapter 5 and verse 11, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. When we understand that that is truly what God is, we don't need to be fearful of him. We can come at any time, and he's there to receive us. Prayer is the privilege that we have. We don't have a God who doesn't know us. We don't have a God who is aloof. We have a God who wants to communicate with us and wants us to communicate with him. May we daily grow in that communication with God. May we daily sense his presence. And may we daily walk with him through to his kingdom. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you that Jesus taught us the simplicity of prayer. We don't need to come with a whole lot of words and a whole lot of talk, but just come in simplicity as a child to a parent. May we open our hearts to you. May we daily grow with you, and in grace grow with you to your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God speaks to us in many ways. He speaks to us, of course, through His written word. He speaks to us through nature. But He also speaks to us through His active leading of our lives and by the influence of His Spirit. But it's not enough that He speaks to us. We also need to pour out our hearts to Him. In order to have spiritual energy, we must have actual communication with our Heavenly Father. Our minds may be drawn out towards Him. We may meditate upon His works, His mercies, His blessings, but this is not in the fullest sense communicating with Him. In order to communicate with God, we must have something to say to Him concerning our actual lives. We all know that women tend to talk more than men. I said that this might be the case, okay? I may listen to my wife talk to me.